Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost, and this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome back to Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg, and I'm going to start this podcast with a game of chance to see if my co-host Jessica Lewis lives or die.
Ooh, scary. Interesting. All right,
Jessica,
I'm ready.
Pick a number between 1 and 3.
3.
All right. Now I'm going to tell you that 2 was not the number. Do you want to keep the number you chose, or do you want to switch?
Well, now, if I were to actually go through the computations, I would be better off switching based upon mm-hmm. the percentages. But I'm going to pull a Deshaun here, and I'm just going to go with my gut, and I'm going to keep 3.
Well, you should have known not to go with your heart. You should always make the right decision. I'm sorry, you die. All right, so I guess that's it. It'll just be me and but wait, what's going on? Oh, it looks like Jessica had the ability to turn back time, so she changed her pick and she's back.
I did. I broke something when you weren't looking. It was this hourglass thing, like the sands of time, and here I am. I've changed the course of time and I get to be on the podcast again.
Oh, well, that's good, because if you hadn't had that handy, it would have just been me comparing Liana's game to the rules for winning that I originally wrote way back after season 1 and have been updating ever since. But now together, we'll look at all the non-spoiler information available to us from what we saw in TV interviews, social media, Ponderosa videos, and more. To see the most recent version, anyone can go to our dedicated page at robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed.
Listen, that was really unexpected.
So was you having an hourglass. I thought we were done with those.
We will never be done with the advantages this season.
Yeah, well, there's always something
new and unexpected. So be ready, because it fits into this podcast as well.
That's right. Because before we get to the rules, we obviously need to talk about that and some other things.
Obviously.
Starting with the do or die twist.
Yeah. Deal or no deal now on Survivor.
Yes. I mentioned last week, and yes, also on TikTok, that coming into this week's episode, I didn't know what the twist was, and I had heard it was so horrible that it was going to be second worst only to Edge of Extinction. So I fully expected to come in here just raging about Jeff ruining things again. But you know what? It wasn't that terrible. I mean, I don't like the twist, but I don't hate it as much as I thought I would based on how upset others were who did know what the rumor was. Now, I think that's because the rumor became exaggerated, that's what makes it a rumor.
Right.
Now, the main reason I don't hate it is that almost all of the information was laid out for the players ahead of time. Regular listeners will recall that one reason I raged against the hourglass was that Jeff had not only hidden information from the players, but directly lied to them.
Right.
In this case, he gave them enough detail so they could decide if they wanted to participate, so they were able to make that choice.
And I don't disagree with that, because That is one of the problems I've seen in all of the most recent changes in Survivor. Like, we could go back to fire making when that was first introduced and players had no idea it was coming. So I do think that it's really unfair for the players to be presented with things when they have no understanding that that's a possibility. So I do like the fact that Jeff took some time and explained to them what your options are. And it was a choice. So I kind of like that, too, because everyone got to choose how they wanted to be involved in this, whether or not they wanted to be. Mm-hmm. But if I don't know, I feel like if I was standing there and Jeff was presenting this, I just wish that someone had stepped up and said, hey, how about none of us do this? Like, how about we all just sit down and no one participates so no one gets immunity, and then we can continue to control the game the way that we want and just have a vote, because then we can choose whoever we want instead of this whole weird construct that is now being presented to us.
Yeah. Now, that would have been hysterical. And I actually I got a listener question on that that I will get to. Actually, Rob and Bryce also addressed that same question in the feedback show. But before we get to that, the one thing that Jeff didn't tell them was what the game of chance would be.
Right.
Now, I kind of presumed it was 50-50, do or die, you know, true or false, heads or tails. But, you know, thinking back about the way he worded it, it's a game of chance. Well, roulette is a game of chance. He could have said, I have a roulette wheel. You just have to hit the double zero to be safe.
Oh, yeah.
And then Deshaun would have been screwed. You know,
no, it's too risky. I mean, if I'm out there and this is being presented, I'm surprised so many people actually played. I was expecting more people to not play. Like, why take that chance? I understand you want immunity, but unless you're Xander or Ricard, who has just been killing it in immunity challenges, I mean, really, like, are you at fault for sitting down? No. And Heather and Liana were very clear about that. I didn't think I was going to win. So why am I going to risk actually being in that position? And so I'm surprised that more people didn't just.
Yeah, the look on Erica's face when she realized that both Liana and Heather had chosen to sit down, and she was like, oh crap.
Yeah. Why would you take that chance? I just
don't
agree with that.
Yeah. As it turned out, you know, the odds were actually better than 50-50 if the player knew what they were doing, as already explained in many places, including by Christian Hubecki on Know It Alls. Deshaun didn't know what he was doing, but he got lucky and therefore nullified our prediction that he would be booted this week.
Right.
Because otherwise, I would be playing this.
David, you're right. 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 David,
give me on loop now.
Yes, yes. Oh, I can't get you off a loop. There we go. And so
you have to try, right? You're not even right this week, but you have to try to find a way that you could have been right. So then you get to say that.
Well, we could have been right because I was just
going along with you.
Yeah, you just tagged along to my prediction.
I did, but because I had heard what
I know, but
what I heard was the extreme version as opposed to this chance at the end. There was no chance. It was like if you are the first out, you're done. Like there's no vote. You're out. Kind of thing.
Yeah. And anyone who wants to make that into their ringtone along with me, that's, you know, I posted that on TikTok. So, you know, so Deshaun nullified our prediction. But the consolation is we probably would have been right if it hadn't been for that twist.
Mm.
I didn't modify the sign to say, David, you would have been right.
Oh, but you will.
Well, I could, but no. Now delving more into the twist, Dalton Ross kind of took the words out of my mouth, which, you know, it's a little unfair since he sees the episodes ahead of time. So he has the opportunity to take the words out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
He tweeted, "Nobody hates sitting out Survivor challenges more than me, but no way I would play this and risk being first out and sent home in a game of chance."
Mm-hmm.
"And remember, weakest challenge competitors likely sit out, making the chances you are first out that much greater. Hard pass." So it goes back to what you were saying of why not everybody sit out? Because like I said, Erica, who probably thought she was better than a couple of people, looked around and went, oh nuts, you know, and with one like this, as happened with Deshaun, one false move.
That's it. Yeah.
You know?
This is definitely not where immunity is awesome. Everybody wants to win immunity. But most of the time when you go into tribal council, you don't have it, right? Like, it's just, it's not a common thing that you can expect to have. You can more often than not expect to not have immunity. So I would just say, you know what? I'm good. I'll just take my chances and just go to tribal council and not risk this
game. Or not take your chances. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you know, if the players had literally all of the information on that game of chance, they could have gamed the system. DeSean, knowing that he was likely going to be voted out, could have purposely played and dropped first, setting him up to have a 2/3 chance of survival instead of a 1/6 chance of a shot in the dark. Now, from everything we saw, he didn't do that, and it just worked out that way. But he could have if he had known. In the future, if Survivor keeps this, which I hope they don't.
Please don't.
Yeah, we could see multiple people who are on the bottom trying this and competing to see who can be out of the challenge first. So kind of like the opposite of what you were saying. Instead of everybody saying, we're not playing, where everybody gets in there, you know, the people on the bottom go in, pick it up and throw it down. And, you know, and so Jeff has to go to the slow-mo instant replay to see whose ball hit the table first.
Right.
So now getting to the question that I was asked on Twitter, what would have happened? What they asked is, what happens if all but one person decided not to play? Because in your scenario, if nobody plays, well, then nobody gets immunity and they move on.
Right.
But what happens if only one person plays? Because then that person is simultaneously the first out and the winner.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have immunity, but they have immunity.
Right.
I have to presume Do or Die would have just died.
Well, and that's the problem with this whole setup, right? Because Jeff doesn't know what people are going to choose. I'm hoping that there was some plan in place that had one, that this is how it's going to move forward. But it's too, why even do that? Like, why create something that could potentially backfire in such a way that either nobody does it and then you don't have this do or die moment like you want, or you only have one person left, and then it's like, well, then now we can't do the do or die like we wanted because we only have one person. So as far as like a setup for Survivor being desirous of creating these advantages or these games of chance or whatever it is they want to do, this new game show construct
it's
that they've come
dangerous.
Up with. Right? Like, this was a bad one because it could have backfired on them and it could have not worked the way that they wanted it to. And while I appreciate the fact that they did provide information to the players and it was more of a choice as opposed to something random and something that one person controlled, it was everyone kind of got to choose for themselves what they wanted. I still don't love it. And I just wish that we could go back to just playing the game the way that the game is supposed to be played. And that's just with people.
Yes. And even Jeff in tribal council, after the heartfelt and emotional discussions, he was sitting there and he really seemed to get it. You know, he was like, yes, this is what I love about Survivor. Except he still had to throw in the dangerous twist earlier in the episode.
Right. Yeah.
You know, Jeff can say all he wants. I love this about Survivor. Actions speak louder than words. If the social interactions and the gameplay and the balance of strategy versus emotion are what you love about Survivor, which is what we love about Survivor, then Jeff, let those things happen. Stop mucking around with the other stupid crap.
Right. You know? They've chosen people to be on the season that they believe will bring something to the season.
Yes.
Right. Like there's always a reason why. Right. Let them bring it like you thought they were going to. Instead, you could just put anybody out there, because if it's all about trying to find something to play a game and it's Deal or No Deal, then really slap a name tag on their chest and bring them on down from, you know, some audience somewhere and just start that way instead of going through the whole casting process and costing millions of dollars, probably. Like, it's, to me, you are losing what everyone loves so much about Survivor. And that is the people who play Survivor. Mm-hmm. And that's what, if you read about Survivor, people remember people who played, they do remember moments and things that those players did in the game, but it was really about the person and how they played Survivor instead of, did they find something? Did they play the game of chance right? It's too much. It's just too much.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Even though Do or Die was less bad than other twists, that doesn't make it good.
Right.
And I'm worried that Jeff is going to say, well, look, we had this episode, we had Do or Die, and we had this emotional discussion, so that makes it all okay. No, yeah. Jeff, we could have done without Do or Die.
You still would have had that discussion.
And it would have been better. Wouldn't have been better for Deshaun, probably, but it would have been better for Liana.
Right. For sure.
So, which we'll discuss, of course, shortly.
I'm going to drink my toxic beverage now.
Oh, okay.
It looks disgusting. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
We don't know what she's drinking there, but it keeps her going. So that's what matters.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Don't worry, it's a fruity beverage.
So is wine.
This is definitely not wine.
Okay. Hey, people don't know what time we're recording this.
That would be a lot of wine.
I've met you.
I know it's terrible, right?
All right. I brought up discussions. Well, we just talked about the discussions that took place at Tribal Council. The emotional discussions, the meaningful discussions, the things that Jeff thinks make the most of Survivor. And honestly, those were some of the most soul-bearing and moving things probably to ever be on the show.
Yeah.
I feel like others in the podcast world have already done them more justice than we can. And I encourage people to go listen to those, like Bryson Wendell on the Purple Pants podcast, as one great example. I also encourage everyone to read something that Liana wrote and posted called A Love Letter to Survivor, in which she discussed her history with the show and, more importantly, went into the topic of being a Black player in the game extended what she talked about in Tribal Council. But as we've mentioned before, in terms of how we look at the game here, I just want to once again mention that most of that falls outside our purview here because we focus our attention on winning or losing the game while recognizing that some people make other choices. Sometimes we criticize such choices within the game, but we can do that while still applauding what they stand for outside the game.
Yes, and we can fully appreciate the vulnerability that they all presented and just the honesty that we all got to see and really love to see. And so I appreciate the fact that they did that. I love that Survivor included it. There was a very long Tribal Council that was edited very nicely because they were inclusive of so many key moments. But yes, we do also have to discuss how we got to that Tribal Council and how we got to the final end result that we did. And there's much to discuss besides the Do or Die.
Yes, yes. Even though that's what we just spent, a solid 10, 15 minutes.
I know. We have to kvetch, right? That's what we do. We complain about certain things. As much as we love Survivor,
and that was,
we have to remind Survivor that there are times that they've made the wrong choice.
Yes, they died. All right. So do you have anything else about this episode before we move into the rules?
No, I think we're good. I think we can move on.
Well, I have one more thing, as usual, before we move into the rules, and that is that these rules that we're about to discuss come in a shorter and much more colorful version, and that is in poster form.
Yes.
Yes, behind you, next to you, behind me, all over the place. And you could just go to robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed, the page that I'm showing right now, scroll down to the poster, and click on it.
And order it.
Yes. In addition to the poster, we also have other ways to get the rules, so you can always have them with them. You've got t-shirt form, you've got mug form, sweatshirt form, and of course, there's also the checklist type design, which I showed on the mug, also on a t-shirt, sweatshirt, whatever. Again, you can just go to robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed to get those links. Go, check it out, put it on your gift list, get it for others, whatever you want.
Yeah. Wear it, drink it, hang it up.
That's right.
Excellent.
Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back. We're back. So let's get back to the show. With that, we can move into the rules because Liana found herself at a bad spot. She was on the outs with her newly formed alliance. She didn't want to be with her former allies who had turned on Shan and who also suddenly found themselves on the outs. One of those people won immunity, while the other would either be killed off or safe. But how did she get into that unenviable position?
Aggressive.
Don't blame me. What choices did she make to end up in what was definitely not a prime spot? It's time to figure out why Lyanna lost.
Mm-hmm.
The first and most important rule talks about the need to scheme and plot. I think it's pretty clear that Lyanna understood the importance of this rule and made a number of strategic and, yes, sneaky moves to try to get ahead. Some of them work better than others. At least a few of those others we'll discuss in the second rule. But working backwards, Lyanna said in interviews that in her final episode, she spent pretty much the whole day trying to get Erica on her side, attempting to convince her of the reality of Ricard's threat level. Obviously, that didn't work, but she was making the attempt, which, you know, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would like to even go back further as far as her strategizing is concerned, because I do think that we learned a lot from her exit interviews about what she did very early on in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Which we might not have seen because of the way that she was playing the game. And that was her desire to have, like, Evie take control of certain components in relationship to Xander.
Right.
As far as how they were going to utilize Xander and convince him to play with them. But she let Evie do that. And I feel like that was her strategy. But at the same time, it was probably not a good choice. Because of the way it ended up presenting itself. She kind of gave over the reins to Evie as opposed to taking control herself. And I think that we saw that continue throughout her game. So that was something that, I mean, I didn't know until I started reading the exit press that she was much closer to Evie than what we necessarily saw. We saw them having a relationship, but It seemed like Evie was the one that was really kind of controlling things. So I thought that was interesting that she almost put herself in a backseat position on purpose. And I'm curious if that's what ended up leading to her demise at the end.
Yeah, I mean, she had that early tight alliance with Evie and Tiffany was in on it. And yeah, she said that she was the one who suggested. I don't know if Evie said the same thing in Evie's interviews. But, the plan, of course, which we had heard about before, was to keep Xander comfortable in case they lost again at Yase.
Mm-hmm.
But then she ended up not being happy with her own plan.
Right.
And felt like they should have voted him out way back in the second episode and kept Voce around.
Mm-hmm.
Now, personally, I fully support her for reasons that have nothing to do with him being my winner pick, of course.
Nothing at all.
No. Or being a huge fan of this podcast. No,
right.
Those are not the reasons that I fully support. I supported you on that decision, Lyanna, but unfortunately, others didn't.
Right. We were with you. We had your back.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, in all seriousness, she did have some good reasons for wanting to boot Xander.
Mm-hmm.
In many of her interviews, she discussed the long term dynamic between the two of them, including that he didn't want to tell her about him finding the idol, which meant he clearly didn't want to work with her.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, he obviously had that idol and the advantage, and she was worried about the threat that presented to her and her allies. So She wanted to take him out right away. They didn't. Now, I think part of it was just the idea that I think Evie had said this in their exit interviews was they didn't expect Xander to be around this long. You know, they had done terrible. And so I think that's probably why Lyanna was like, yeah, sure, keep him around, make him feel good just in case there's a swap or something.
Mm-hmm.
She never expected Xander to last this long because they had done so poorly in challenges.
Right. But I do think that part of the reason why she probably made that determination was the type of relationship she had with Xander. If she had more of a close relationship with him, maybe she would have been more aware of his potential threat level and that, you know what, he might just hang on for a long time. He might be able to play people really well and to really get in there and strategize with individuals outside of Yase. And so I'm curious if she should have spent more time kind of fostering that relationship as opposed to kind of punting off to Evie to say, Evie, you do this and then we'll all just kind of work it out together as we move forward. Because I think you end up losing out on key components, like right. information you might get from Xander, just a relationship building and understanding of that person, where Evie was probably in a much better position in relationship to Xander, which is probably what why we saw Xander and Evie and Tiffany bonding at the merge and Liana being
right
on the outs.
Right.
With
yeah.
That
I mean,
group.
I think we'll discuss very, very shortly that Liana put herself on the outs. But,
oh, and I'm not yeah. saying this, but right, I do think right. that that's part of it. Is that
oh, absolutely.
You start out at the beginning trying to foster relationships. And if your initial desire with one person or two people is to mm-hmm. not foster that relationship and have someone else do that for you in hopes that it will help the group. The person who is fostering that relationship is going to be the one that is receiving the most benefit from mm-hmm. whoever it is that they are working with.
Right, right. I mean, the thing is, she agreed to this idea, may have even suggested it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the longer term, looking back, she recognized that it was eating away at her.
Yes.
Which would play into that future decision we'll get to in a moment here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think before and during that later decision, Liana made several other moves. She got very close, very fast with Shan, and she decided to join in with Shan, Danny, Deshaun, and Ricard when that alliance formed at the merge. In her mind, this was a better position for her, and she said in interviews that while Evie had good connections with the other two Yase members, Liana felt she needed new life in the game, which I think goes back to what you were just saying.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't think that Xander would use his idler advantages to help any of the Yase other than himself. I got to tell you, I think she's right. Just based on what we've seen, I think she's right. I think Xander mm-hmm. has been very smart about that. Now, how she handled that situation overall is another matter, which will lead us into rule two, unless you have anything more to add here in the first rule.
No, we can get to rule two.
Okay, so that says not to scheme and plot too much and to keep your scheming secret. And this is where we are for that other matter.
Mm-hmm.
In earlier podcasts, we discussed how we felt Liana broke too early and too obviously from Yase. While we just covered her thought process for doing so, and I do understand what she was saying, I just don't think she handled it in the best possible way.
Right.
I know she wanted Xander out. I understand she'd wanted that for literally weeks. I fully get that she didn't feel he had her best interests at heart. That doesn't mean you drop your whole alliance. It means yeah. you should figure out the best way to move forward and, if possible, kind of straddle both of those mm-hmm. groups
right.
while picking off other people outside those groups mm-hmm. and positioning yourself to get rid of Xander. Make
yes.
Xander trust you and then stab him in the back. But that was the whole part of the facade for Evie to keep him comfortable. But Liana told us on the show she was chomping at the bit to flip the narrative with Xander. And I said in Why Sydney Lost, she declared exactly where she stood and burned down every bridge with Evie, Xander, and Tiffany. I feel mm-hmm. like we were watching a case of big move-itis.
Yeah.
My opinion hasn't changed since then. She had a confessional about how she was tired of being underestimated and wanted to turn into a badass player by taking the idol from Xander. She was just too eager for that big move.
Yeah, and that's why I think we go back to the discussion we were just having is who she's associating herself mm-hmm. with. And it's almost like the sidekick mentality, where if you are aligning yourself with people who are in a better position than you are in the game, Xander, for example, had all of these tricks in his bag, right? And now she's aligning herself with Shan, who seems to be dominating the alliance wherever she finds herself. And so she was always kind of playing second fiddle to somebody. And mm-hmm. even with Evie, Evie was dominating the alliance and was leading the charge on a lot of the things that was happening on Yase. And I do think that that can wear on someone where they're continually kind of sitting in that back seat. And some people who play Survivor want that. And they are desirous of being, what was it, a passenger instead of a pilot? That was one of the analogies that came up a couple of years back. And some people that really works for, and that's what they want to do. But I feel like with Liana's personality, it really was wearing on her in the game. Mm-hmm. She is someone who wanted to dominate. She made decisions early on to not dominate and then could not get her footing to take over. And when she tried, this is what we ended up seeing. She completely threw away Yase, attempted to make a move that went nowhere with, you know, this advantage that really this was not as powerful as she wanted it to be because it had lost its power at that point because everybody knew everything right. about it. So I do think that she just struggled to get her footing at that point, and it just didn't fit with the type of game that she wanted to play.
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, other people saw this, too. It's not like we're saying anything that the other people who were playing with her didn't see. Mm-hmm. Evie discussed it in some of their own exit interviews, telling Dalton Ross that Liana really regretted not voting Xander out and was obsessed with it to the point of having, quote, tunnel vision. Mm-hmm. As Evie said, she wants to play a big game. She wants a big move. She was always thinking that Xander was going to be like Joey Amazing. But the reality is Xander was with us.
Yes.
So it was just so frustrating because when we got to the merge, I think me and Tiffany and Xander and actually even Shan were all like, okay, let's do Yase and Uwa. That's six. And they're six. Love you. So we've got to get out. We've got to get one of them out. But Liana herself was starting right away like, or what if we got out right. Xander?
Right.
And then what if we got out Tiff? And this is still quoting Evie, by the way. And to me, it was just like, well, how would we do that? These are the only people in the game that we actually have these long term relationships with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the funny thing was that Liana believed she was being clever and pulling the wool over Evie's and Tiffany's eyes. But both of them figured her out quickly. Mm-hmm. She told Mike Bloom she was banking on the fact that she and Evie had a trustful relationship and a connection such that she would never go against them. But Evie wasn't falling for that crap, especially right. after Liana said she wanted Xander gone. As Evie said on the show, after Liana tried sussing out who would have the idol, shady as hell.
Yeah, and I think that this goes back to just the cast as a whole. These are all very intelligent people that have mm-hmm. been cast. And just you listen to them speak of their own existences outside of the game. You watch them play the game. And these are all people that seem to be computing in their brains. Like more so than I think most players we've seen as a cast as a whole. I mean, occasionally you get a group that is very, very good at that. But I feel like this group is really kind of running through all of their options constantly. And we saw that with conversations happening on the summit. People that would go to the summit, they were having conversations with people from other tribes that were very long-term plans mm-hmm. and thinking ahead and working with each other as to why it would be better if you have the advantage and I don't. I mean, there were so many layers happening because of the advantages that I think it required them to have these more in-depth conversations with themselves because they had to figure in all of these other components. And so I do think that Liana probably underestimated the people she was playing with because they did see through everything she was presenting and they did realize what was happening. But the difference is, I think Evie and Tiffany were much better, and Xander for that matter as well, were much better at hiding it and right. making Liana not see it until all of a sudden it was happening to Liana at Tribal Council.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Yase was supposed to be, you know, the baby turtle tribe, like those baby turtles struggling and succeeding. But, you know, I found something out. Mike Bloom tweeted about how Yase fell apart. They weren't the baby turtles. I did a quick search, found out kind of depressingly only about 1 in 1,000 baby turtles survived to adulthood. So I guess Yase kind of was like those.
They
baby
were the
turtles.
Baby turtle.
Yeah. We'll see if
way
Xander,
to depress everybody who's yes, listening to the podcast.
Yes,
baby turtles
sorry.
Don't make it.
No, they don't.
Sad.
So yeah, anyway, you know, ignoring the poor baby turtles for the moment. You know, we spent a long time discussing just now what happened at the merge, but Liana also had some potential issues with this rule more recently. We saw that Danny and Deshaun let her in on the plan to target Ricard last week.
Mm-hmm.
And at first on the show, it seemed like she was considering going along with it. But then she decided to tell Shan the plan. That led to Shan telling Ricard, which led to Ricard realizing where he stood, which led to Shan getting booted and partially led to Lyanna going next.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think anyone could have foreseen this particular turn of events, but it does bring up the question of whether she should have just not told Shan and let it happen.
Yeah.
Yes, she felt super close to Shan, both emotionally and strategically. But we've discussed briefly last week, if she would have let it happen, Shan would have lost her other super tight ally, Ricard, locking Shan in even more closely to Lyanna.
Right.
You know, and then Lyanna could have found a way to stay on Shan's good side, for example, by telling Shan what was happening maybe moments before headed to tribal council, saying she couldn't stop it. Like, hey, I just found out this is the plan. Sorry, we can't do anything about it. And then Lyanna would have been in a good position with a tight ally.
Yes. And not only a tight ally, but all of the people that she fought so hard to play the game with would all still be with her and they would all be together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other part of what we've seen happen with that one conversation. Everything she worked so hard to try to be a part of is just crumbling and falling apart because now that alliance is no longer, because now there's infighting and they're working against each other instead of with each other.
Right.
And so you put all of this effort into creating something that then is being taken down. And I do think that your point is incredibly valid, that if she wants to be Shan's number two, then she really does need to get rid of her card. And so she should have let that happen because that would have elevated her status and her ability to make decisions within the alliance that had been formed, as opposed to being, you know, on the outside, kind of looking in and listening to Shan give directives while Shan's also talking to Ricard about what's going to happen next. So I do think that it really would have been in her best interest to just let it sit. She didn't necessarily have to take part in it. She could have just let it happen.
Yep. Yep. All right. Well, the third rule tells players to be flexible. How do you think Lyanna did here?
Terrible.
Ouch.
Well, I mean, and I say that because of everything we've just been talking about, right? She was, I believe you said tunnel vision. That was what Evie said.
Yes.
As far as her desire to get Xander out. I mean, Xander's now a verb, for God's sakes. And I just, so to me, it's weird. She wanted to be flexible, which allowed her to create a new alliance, right? So she met Shan, decided I want to work with Shan, and then I'm just going to toss my alliance to the side and I'm going to go work with these people over here. So that is being flexible, sure. But unfortunately, she didn't allow the flexibility to let her game be elevated. It actually destroyed her game because she was so caught up in what had happened over here and couldn't let that be and didn't utilize what had happened over here to further her game. So it's like this weird, like, if you want to be flexible, you have to allow that flexibility to help your game, not hinder
it.
Right. And I think that's why it was such a problem for her, because she was really trying to be flexible, but it didn't get her where she wanted to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was one time a few episodes ago when Lyanna seemed willing to work with Xander despite everything that had happened. But that was short lived and very situational.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, yeah, she was always locked in. You know, she wanted to go to the end with Danny, Deshaun, and Shan in particular. She didn't have side alliances because, like you said, she tossed them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even with her new alliance, we just talked about, she was 100% locked in with Shan, which, again, led to her telling Shan about the anti-Ricard plan.
Right.
And so, yeah, she just got. Yeah, I guess the tunnel vision was the proper term that Evie had used.
Right. Mm-hmm. For sure.
All right. So we move to the fourth rule, which tells players not to let their emotions control them. And earlier I mentioned Lyanna's love letter to Survivor, and once again, encourage everyone to read that. And as I mentioned, most of it falls outside our purview here. But one part does specifically apply in this rule, and I may even end up quoting it in future versions of the rule. She said, "Every player in the game has struggled with the balance between emotion and strategy. Few go into the game telling themselves to trust everyone and reveal all their secrets. Nonetheless, we are human and the game happens. We are starving and hungry and aqua dumping, and sometimes we forget that the cutthroat nature of this amazing game has no room for values or emotion. Yet we bring all of this with us. Some of us are better at cutting it off than others, but the best players struggle with it. It's the beauty of being human in an unforgiving game. Now, everything she said there was both true and pertinent to this rule. Everyone in Survivor struggles with this question and has since season one, some more than others. If you tell yourself you're just playing a game and you set your emotions aside when you're making your strategic decisions, you are more likely to succeed. That is the entire point of this rule. But not everyone can do it equally. And as Liana noted, not everybody wants to do it when they are presented with the choice. All of that is part of Survivor.
Yeah, and I do think that, you know, this is, as you've said, this is an actual struggle that so many people who come in to play this game have, because this does become personal. As much as you want to play a game and you want to win $1 million, you are forming relationships with people. And some of those relationships are going to be more significant and more personal than others. And we saw that with her and Shan, how quickly they bonded over who they are as women and their moms. I mean, like, very personal issues that they both shared. And you never know who you're going to actually meet when you play this game, and you are never going to know how you're going to connect. And even on my season, we saw that with Jay and with Adam and the issues that both of their mothers were struggling with and their medical conditions. And that bonded them very deeply. And so there are those moments that will bond people, and you never know what it's going to be. But that is a very personal decision that you're going to have to make and you're going to have to live with, because if you want to put the game ahead of those emotions and those connections you make, that's your decision, and you're going to have to make that. But she seemed very clear with, I'm choosing this relationship over potentially winning $1 million, because that is more important to me. And that, again, that's a very personal choice.
She had the struggle. She made the choice. But the question is, should she have completely changed course in the game because of her connection? She told Mike Bloom, that was a tricky decision. It's an entirely new alliance. I don't know Danny or Deshaun, and I kind of knew Shan. But she also added, this is something that's bigger than the game. I'm going to trust that because it does mean something to me, blackness means something to me. And I know it means something to a lot of the viewers as well. So I felt comfortable trusting that because it meant so much to me personally. I do think there's a way to make both work. We've already discussed finding a way to hover between those two alliances for a bit before turning. And arguably, it could have succeeded, and that alliance could theoretically have made it to the end together.
Oh, absolutely. And this is what we've seen on Survivor in other situations that are very similar, where you have a group of people who end up splintering themselves instead of saying, you know what, this is long term and this is what we're going to do. And one season that's coming to mind, Sophie, when Sophie won. And she had the particular group of six, and it was with Coach. And Sophie was losing her mind with this group of people, right? Like, I mean, it was a very, very difficult struggle for her, but they were committed to each other because they knew if we stay committed, we can be the final six, and that's where we will end up. And I do think that we don't see that often happen in Survivor, where people can get over the infighting and they can look past the personal issues that people are having. And Liana couldn't look past the fact that there was this potential, like, against Shan ideology or methodology kind of festering. Instead, she should have said, you know what? We'll get there. Like, we can deal with it right now. We'll get there. Let's look out instead of looking in. But, you know, they really did splinter themselves. And unfortunately, that happens more often than not on Survivor. And, you know, it ended up backfiring for her the most, because now she's been voted out.
Liana said both in the show and in interviews that she wanted to sit with Shan at the end, even though she knew the risk that she could possibly lose. Okay. And so she was committed. Shan was committed also. But if those two had actually gotten to the end and that had actually happened, we would, of course, be criticizing the decision, similar to what we discussed last week about how I criticized Colby for taking Tina a couple decades ago, though understanding, obviously, there was more of a depth of emotion in this case than with Colby.
Right.
But they didn't get to that point because the alliance did what you said. It fell apart. Now, the main reason goes back to what we discussed in the second rule about Liana telling Shan about the Ricard plan. Liana passed that information along for emotional reasons. If she had let it happen, that is how the group could have made it to Final Four. And I, as I was writing my notes up, I'm like, oh, but someone would have had to turn at five to get to four and da, da, da. No, they wouldn't have because I forgot about Final Four fire making. You can, as a tight four, make it to the end. And then you don't have to necessarily worry about which duo will come out on top. Thanks to Jeff throwing in fire making, you know, which takes.
Did you just find a good thing about fire making? I'm saying it hurts strategy,
actually. They could have stayed together and made it happily along.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know how any of those four have done, you know, would do in fire making. I have no clue. I, you know, we may find out for
one or two
of them. But the point is, they could have stayed as a tight four, which I think is what Ricard realized, you know, like, hey, wait a minute.
Yes.
If I don't do this then they're going to stay as a tight four and I'm dead.
Yeah. And that's, I think, the difference that Ricard is definitely thinking long term. And Liana, I feel like, wasn't. She just really, like, there was tunnel vision and there was this focus on one component of the game instead of really kind of looking at all of the potential areas that this game can go. Like, if I do this, this will happen. If I do that, that will happen. And you have to really do that in Survivor in order to survive. And Ricard has been so impressive in his abilities to work this out very quickly, because that was exactly what he did. The minute Shan told him, his mind was working and he realized immediately, now I know exactly how this is going to play out. And so this is my time to make a move to avoid that from happening. And Liana, unfortunately, didn't work through that same construct. When she found out about the focus on Ricard and then wanting to help Shan, she got lost and went in a direction that was not game. It was pure emotion, 100%.
All right. Well, we can move to the fifth rule, which is all about the social game and reminds players they need to pretend to be nice. We didn't see much in the game of Liana one way or another, but I don't think she had problems here. I mean, yeah, we know she hated Xander's face, but she didn't actually say that to him. She said that about him. Secret scenes showed her bonding and having fun with Yase, and she talked about that in her interview. Even though she blew up Yase, causing Tiffany and Evie to get voted out, the three of them seem to come back together on very friendly terms at Ponderosa. So I don't have any reason to think she had problems here.
Yeah, especially since Xander had.
Yeah, I know.
I could make a joke, but I'm not going to.
So he has got to be so embarrassed right now.
But yes, no, I do think that, you know, I do think that, she definitely seemed to make connections. And the mere fact that she was able to bond so quickly with Shan, I do think also shows that she was an open individual, just as someone who was willing to have conversations with people who she was just meeting and find those connections immediately and allow them to blossom. So I do think that she was making strides on the social component. But I also think that at times, like we've talked about, she was allowing other people to take charge, and she was not creating the relationships that she needed to, because she thought game move, that would be better. Let someone else do that instead of her working on building those relationships and those bonds. And then maybe Xander and she would have had a different type of relationship.
Now, as we move into the sixth rule, you just talked about her stepping back and let others doing things, and it warns against being too much of a threat. After being voted out, Liana said at the beginning of her Ponderosa video that she must have been even more of a threat than Ricard. What do you think about that?
I'm going to go with no on that one. Yeah, I think for Liana, her threat level came with the people that she was playing the game with. And that was what Ricard recognized. And I think that was what Ricard was taking full advantage of when he managed to get them to kind of focus on each other as opposed to focusing on the outs. And so I do think that that's where her threat level came from. She was one of a potential strong group of four. And once you become a group of four that someone can see making it all the way to the end, and that person who is not in that group of four realizes it, that's when you have an extreme threat level to that individual person. And so this really boils down to Ricard seeing that that group is a threat to me, not a threat individually, but as a group, huge threat. And so I think that that was what ended up happening to Liana, is that it was so clear that this group of four was together, and that it was becoming that much more clear to Ricard that, unfortunately, that's why Shan got voted out. And now that's
why
Liana
agree. Liana was not voted out for being a threat. Sorry, Liana. But except in so much as, like you said, anyone outside, well, that was in the former Core Alliance and is now outside the new Core Alliance. I mentioned earlier that she was one of three people outside that group, but both of the other two were safe. So there was really only one option if the new alliance wanted to stay together. It wasn't that Liana was more of a threat than Ricard. It was that people trusted Ricard to further their game more than they trusted her to do so, which isn't terribly surprising given her longstanding anti-Xander position.
Yeah, and Ricard is great for Xander to keep around because he's a meat shield. And Xander recognized that, and he spoke about that in a confessional, that it makes more sense for me to keep him here because the focus then won't be on me. As soon as he's gone, who are they going to look to next?
All right. The seventh rule covers idols and advantages, including how to handle and deal with them. And it also covers navigating twists. Now, there are obviously a few things to discuss here, starting with the early Yasei dynamics, where Liana wanted to deal with Xander's idol and advantage by voting him the heck out of there. We've already covered how Evie and Tiffany went the other direction, but I always thought that Liana had a lot of points in her favor for doing that, especially before the idol became active. You know, and then if she had convinced them to get rid of him, maybe she could have pulled a Shan and found the re-hidden idol for herself. But of course, that wasn't the way things ended up for that.
Yeah, and that this is what I don't like about, and we've already talked about it a lot with other podcasts or on other podcasts that we've done. But when you take the secrecy of an idol away in the manner in which it was done, I do think that it negatively affects gameplay overall, because it leads into what advantage she did end up having, and the power was lost because, of course, you know everyone who has an idol because they have to announce it. They have to stand there and say some crazy phrase, and then everyone knows who has an idol. So I do think that rather than it helping the gameplay, I just feel like it kind of put it at a stalemate because everybody knew where everything was, and it just changed the way that people were looked at and the way that people were playing the game. And I do think that this was an unfortunate thing that we saw happen with Yasei, is that Xander had so many things happening. It was like, no, but it was like he was scary. He was a threat, but they were like, he can't vote. Like, I don't know. Like, he's got extra pieces of paper. Like, there were so many things that Xander came with that it made him so much more difficult to deal with because they didn't know what was going to happen. And I think that's just unfortunate that that's what we saw this particular season, and it negatively affected her.
Yeah. And you talked about the knowledge is power advantage. And of course she had that. She didn't tell her Yasei allies about getting it, but then Shan spilled the beans in front of Tiffany. The thing is, we discussed at the time, Liana should have thought quicker on her feet at that moment, because Shan's spoken assumption was that it was an extra vote. Liana could have just said yes, and that would have ended all the discussion about the particulars and might have allowed her to succeed in getting the idol from Xander and voting him out. But she kind of just wasn't quick enough on her feet. And she was like, well, actually, it wasn't an extra vote. It was this other thing. It's like, you didn't have to go into that.
Yeah. Right. Don't tell them what they don't need to know. And if you want to keep it a secret, then keep it a secret. And if someone has already created a lie by mistake for you, then great, go with it.
So even though she ended up misplaying the knowledge is power advantage, the fact is that didn't lead to directly to her getting booted, and she survived for a while afterwards. Though indirectly, it put her into a worse position because Xander was still there and obviously knew that she was targeting him. I did think it was particularly funny when Liana later asked Xander if he would give her his immunity idol to hold for tribal council. And he was like, no, not to you. Yeah, I mean, It was unlikely to succeed, but hey, she didn't lose anything by trying, right? Yes.
She got Xandered.
You got Xandered.
Xandered.
Yes.
It's going to be my new verb. You got Xandered.
And then, of course, we come to the end, and she had her opportunity to take her shot in the dark. She didn't choose to use it. Like several people before her, she felt that the vote could be close enough that it wasn't worth the risk. After all, we talked about how she lobbied Erica all day. So if that had any chance of working that was greater than 16.7%, she had to keep her vote and give it a try. She said in interviews that she saw how Sydney had tried it and it backfired on her. And, you know, Liana was not the only juror to have said that. So it's interesting how Sydney's decision has had a long lasting effect on the game.
Yeah, and this is the other component of it as well, is all these extra votes that potentially exist out in the universe of Survivor 2, because now you're having to add those into the potential of, you know, voting. And that's, and we saw an extra vote actually get played. And I was, when you start counting, you're like, wait.
Yeah, well, he got to seven and didn't say it. And so, he's like, one more vote. You could see everybody's face like, wait, what? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, wait, what? What is? And so I do think that that also is part of that issue as well, is that you're not only thinking about who's sitting there and voting, you're also having to think about, well, who has an extra vote and which way is that vote going to be utilized and how is that going to affect my vote? Because how many are. So there's so many other mathematical equations that can be computed at that point in time. And it's just, it's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Well, speaking of too much, there's one more thing I want to discuss, and that is related to game twists. Earlier, I mentioned, of course, we talked about the game twist, do or die, that you know, players had information and could decide whether or not to participate in the twist. But I'm going to slightly contradict myself here, because the thing is, by Deshaun participating and surviving, the situation got shifted and it rebounded on Liana as a side effect. She chose not to play in Jeff's reindeer game, but she still ended up with a lump of coal in her stocking. Without the twist, she almost certainly would have survived at least one more vote.
Yeah, well, and this is why we don't like the twist, right? Because it takes away the player's ability to just play the game. So Deshaun is the target. They want to vote out Deshaun. Deshaun doesn't have an idol. Deshaun doesn't have immunity. Deshaun's going home. That seems to be the normal course of things. But then you throw in this twist, and granted, it was everyone's choice whether or not they wanted to play. But yes, this is the problem. The rebound effect, as you said, that it can negatively affect other people who weren't even going to be considered a problem at that point. They weren't going to be someone that was getting voted out. And you've got Danny winning immunity, Deshaun not dying. and then so who's left? And so I do think that this is why so many viewers are frustrated with these types of advantages, because it really does negatively affect players' ability to just play the game. And I know that people might say, well, when an idol is played, then you have to kind of think through your options. Of course. But this is on a whole nother level, because there are so many ways in which this could play out. And it's not about the game anymore. It's about a chance, a game of chance, which is not what a vote should come down to.
All right. We can move on to Appendix A, which is about the tribe keeping their end goals in mind when voting. And we talk about voting out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. Now, last week, I mentioned how the core alliance should have focused on voting out those who weren't in their alliance. They didn't. Now there's a different core alliance. That different core alliance did do what they were supposed to do. So, you know, two big questions here are why Erica decided to go with Ricard and Xander, and why Xander used his extra vote that you were talking about. We heard from Liana that she spent a lot of time lobbying Erica that day, but Erica, you know, still stuck by her newly formed alliance. I think Erica's decision makes sense in a couple ways. First, one reason to go after Ricard would be that he's a challenge threat. But from Erica's standpoint, let's face it, Erica's not going to win most challenges, whether it's against Ricard, Xander, Danny, Deshaun. So it's kind of a non-issue as far as that's concerned. The bigger issue is that he's a threat to win the game overall. But so are Danny and Deshaun and maybe even Xander. And if she flips on her newly formed alliance, well, okay, then what? She knows Xander has his idol.
Yeah.
So she would have needed to flip back against Danny or Deshaun the next time, which, you know, mm-hmm. you know, she probably could have found an ally in Liana because she wanted them gone. And unless, of course, Liana and Danny and Deshaun then turn on Erica, which obviously is bad for Erica's game. Erica said on the show, mm-hmm. outside the game, it's easy to say, take out the biggest threat. But in the game, you need people you can trust. And so she did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you also have to look at the makeup of the jury when you're trying to determine who you necessarily want to go to the end with. If Erica is thinking long term and thinking, mm-hmm. who am I going to sit with at the end? You've got a bunch of Yase.
I thought you were going to say Yahoos or something
Liana's,
like that.
No, you know, and you have Liana's mm-hmm. best friend basically sitting on the jury. And, you know, so there right. are other things that you have to think about. You have to start thinking about who's potentially going to vote for who in the end. And if I don't have a good relationship with this person and they're really, if it's going to come down to a relationship, who will they choose? And so I do think that for that point with Erica, Liana becomes much more of an issue in the end than someone who might, you know, still be left from mm-hmm. her new core group. I mean, Ricard is obviously, I think, going to do very well, but there are a lot of things that you need to consider. And flipping at that point didn't make sense for her because, like you said, she's going to have to flip back then. So you really have to just try to make the best decision at that moment in time. And if it's going to further your game, which it certainly did, I think that that was the best choice for yes. Erica to do at that point.
So now we have the question of why Xander used his extra vote. I think he could have only used it for one more tribal council anyway, but it still might be helpful at the next tribal council. You know, at first I was thinking it was a backup in case Erica flipped, you know, that he could tie it up and basically pressure her into flipping back so they didn't go to rocks. But then I was reminded that Heather and Erica almost always act as a duo. So if Erica flipped, mm-hmm. it seems likely that Heather would also have flipped unless
right.
for some reason Xander was absolutely convinced Heather was going to vote Liana no matter what. And he only worried about Erica, which maybe he was. This one may have to remain a mystery until Xander's interview, if people even care about it by that point.
Well, and I do think that that's a good point about Erica and Heather, because their relationship, I think, has not been at the forefront
mm-hmm.
like some of the other relationships that we've seen. But I do think that Erica and Heather are very close and very tight. And I do think that they are voting as a twosome. So that, if they are, is something else that needs to be considered when we're talking about Erica or Heather and people who are voting with them, is that you have to think, well, where are these two people going to vote as opposed to one? But I am curious if he's only worried about Erica, and Liana only seemed to be focused on Erica. She didn't seem to be focused on Heather.
I think she was focused on Erica because she believed that where Erica goes, Heather follows.
Right. And so it's interesting,
right.
like if you're only focusing on that one person, there must be an assumption that second person is going along for the ride with Erica. Otherwise, you would have been trying to work both Erica and Heather all day because you're like, I need somebody to come with me. So it is interesting why he ended up utilizing
right.
it if he.
Right.
Didn't
yeah.
end up
going along
to.
For the ride does seem to be very good summary words for Heather's game so far. And pissing off the jury, that, you know, that also helped. Yeah. So, all right, we can move to Appendix B and quickly run through it because it talks about the jury phase of the game. And I just don't think it came into play other than what you said already in terms of you look at Liana and you've got the Yase who might vote for her, even though she burned all the bridges with them. And you've got Shan sitting there. So yeah, you don't want to face her at the end.
Right.
Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back. We're back. So let's get back to the show. All right. So it's about time to wrap things up. What are your final thoughts?
Liana, unfortunately, was Xandered. I do think that Liana came into this game really being desirous of leaving a mark on the game. And you can hear that through much of her exit press, and you can see that in a lot of the things that she said throughout the game during her confessionals. She definitely wanted to make a mark. And I think that she's done a great job in trying to get there. But unfortunately for Liana, she was playing the game with so many other people who wanted to do the same thing. And she was allowing those people to take control instead of taking control of the game herself. And it unfortunately started at the beginning with Yase. She made decisions to let other people take the reins, to let other people kind of run the show and lead the charge, and then found herself getting frustrated when things didn't go her way. But if you turn over power, unfortunately, you're not going to necessarily get what you want because you're going along with what other people are trying to do instead of doing what you want to do. She lost the ability to control her own game because she didn't know how to be in charge without appearing like she was in charge. She was letting it be very well known who was running the show. And I think the secret scene that we saw where she was chasing Xander around and Xander immediately went to tell Shan what she was doing just speaks volumes. Right, exactly. It speaks volumes as to how she was perceived. She was perceived as second to Shan. She was perceived as second to Evie. And that was not where Liana wanted to be. But unfortunately, that was where she put herself very early on. And then she found herself struggling with that throughout the game, because then it also became personal. It wasn't just game moves anymore. It was also personal relationships that negatively affected her ability to take control. And so I do think that for Liana, her entire game centered around her inability to take control of her own game because she was allowing outside things to affect them. Her desire to not be the number one, her desire to let her emotions make decisions for her. All of these things negatively affected her ability to really be in charge. And so, unfortunately, this whole idea that being Xandered, I do think that it is going to be something that her game will be known for as she walks away from her survivor life, because that's really what happened. There were so many components of her game that were directly affected by her relationship with Xander that it's going to be the component of her game that I think so many people will remember. So unfortunately for Liana, she did get Xandered.
Yeah. In the recap podcast with Rob, Natalie from David versus Goliath said that Liana had the ability to articulate the game, but not to play it as well. And I think Natalie really hit on something there. Liana's very smart, seemed to know and understand what was going on around her. The problem was that, as she said in her love letter to Survivor, sometimes we forget that the cutthroat nature of this amazing game has no room for values or emotion. Liana had a lot of understandable emotions going on, along with some that maybe weren't quite as understandable and related to a certain fellow college student on her Yase tribe who had, you know, she had wanted out from the beginning. I agree with Evie's assessment that Liana had some tunnel vision, along with my diagnosis of big moveitis. Even Xander talked about at one point about how he knew Liana wanted to wipe the smile off his face. But even after her attempt to do that was thwarted, she still had a good alliance who had vowed to go to the end together. I don't think she could have won against any of the others, but she could have potentially made it to the end. Then she spilled the beans about the plan to target Ricard, leading to the spiral of events that resulted in Shan getting voted out, which further led to the collapse of that alliance and the creation of a new alliance. I mentioned earlier that she found herself in a bad spot on the outside of that new alliance. She ended up there because of choices she made to place a higher value on emotional connections than on the game. I also previously mentioned that without the twist, Liana would have almost certainly made it at least one more vote. Of the three people on the outs, she was the only one left that wasn't safe. But that shouldn't be taken to mean the do-or-die twist was what caused her to lose, because there were so many other factors that came into play, leading her to be in that doomsday position. And that is why Liana lost.
There we are.
All right. So, Before we get to our predictions, let me remind everyone that the rules that we just discussed are available in both poster and t-shirt form.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, mug form and every other form that you can imagine. So many forms.
So many forms.
For the shirts or the mug or whatever you want, go to robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed. What's next?
What's next?
The part that you love the most. Predictions.
No!
Now,
mm-mm-mm.
This could get complicated depending on how honest we believe the preview was. I believe it was a total lie. The preview made it seem like Danny found an idol and then was acting all confident and Ricard noticed. But doesn't that give a little too much away? I'm thinking Danny went looking for the idol, or I say it in past tense, but I guess in the future, goes looking for the idol and won't find it. And that's where the camera shot comes, because sometimes when someone's looking, they'll do a camera shot and kind of flash it at us. Kind of like when Tiffany was looking early in the season, and it was like, she's looking over here, and the camera's like, ha ha, it's over here. I think that's what happens with Danny. But then I think Danny decides to pretend that he did find it as a way to avoid getting votes. Okay? Yeah.
He pulls a Rupert.
Now, I further suspect this all happens after the immunity challenge, because that's when you would want to appear confident. You wouldn't need to worry about it beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, suggests that maybe Deshaun wins the challenge, which is why Danny is so desperate, because otherwise he would probably know that Deshaun is target number one. If we had not seen that clip, I would have once again picked Deshaun to get voted out. But since we did see it, and following the logic I just laid out, I'm going to predict that the one-time Chicago Bear gets tackled.
I think it's still Deshaun. Because here's the thing. Even if Danny is thinking it's Deshaun, why would he be convinced that it's Deshaun and not himself? Those are the two that are on the outs, right? And so one of them is potentially going to be the person getting voted for. So why not try to find an idol regardless? Even if you think for a second that it's not going to be me, everyone's been lying to everybody about everything.
On Survivor?
Except occasionally. I know, right? So it's like, why would you all of a sudden believe that you're not the main target if that's what someone is kind of putting into your ear? Like, oh, we're going to be voting for Deshaun. So I wouldn't put too much faith in his idol hunting, because I just think it would be to his benefit to have an idol, right?
All right. Well, at least we have different predictions this time. Who knows? We may both be wrong, but I do think it's one or the other.
I know.
I'll stick with Danny. You stick with Deshaun. We'll battle it out. Now
we will.
Looking further ahead, although not that much further ahead. I mean, we're next week and then the finale, which is crazy to me. But
I know.
Crazy. Last week I changed my end game prediction to say Ricard would win, but Xander and Erica would be in the final three, knocking Heather out sooner. Now I have to wonder if I moved too hastily and my original idea of a couple weeks ago was right, that the final three is Xander, Erica, and Heather. Because once again, we saw Xander taking credit for something that wasn't his idea. He proclaimed that he knocked out Shan and then kind of added, like, in the fine print as part of somebody else's plan. You know, you know, it's kind of, I felt like we were watching a drug commercial. Like,
good.
Side effects may include that, you know, you actually used someone else's plan. And, you know, but
that's great.
This is part of the trend of production giving him credit for things that he didn't really do, which makes me think.
Right. Yeah. There has to be a reason
and
for it.
I think
it.
That reason is final three. We mentioned this before, Heather piss off the jury again by unintentionally insulting them by saying they did worse at challenges than she did, which not only gave us some great facial expressions from the jury, but also my most viewed TikTok to date, which is really the more important thing here.
Of course, we haven't mentioned your TikTok
enough on
this podcast.
I got a message from someone saying, I am very happy that you mentioned the TikTok so much on the podcast. So, you know,
Oh, we'll see. There we go. I think the TikToks are hysterical. I love it.
Now, in any case, putting the TikToks aside, what does this all mean? Hell if I know. I just keep getting this nagging feeling that production is force feeding us Xander propaganda, or, you know, propaganda.
Yes.
The only reason I can think, yes, the only reason I could think to do that is if he is at least final three, and probably if he wins. And I'm sorry, Xander, of the people who are left, I you're not my winner pick. I'm sorry. I like you, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm officially switching it to Xander at this point. It's a battle in my mind between Ricard and Xander. And I just think that Ricard is such a threat. I feel like they're going to get rid of him before final three.
Yeah, because if you think about it, one of the things that Ricard said in a confessional was how it's going to be he or Xander that are winning the immunities, because they're the ones that have been. And so they're going to be the two battling it out. So I think when it comes to that moment where Xander wins immunity and then they need to vote somebody out, Ricard is going to be the choice, because you'll have at that point, if it's Xander, Heather and Erica, at least depending on how many people are left at that point. I mean, that's three people that could all vote in one direction. And if Xander has immunity, I mean, who else are you going to be voting for, depending again on who's left? And we know that Danny and Deshaun are on the outs. So I think as far as the numbers are concerned, and you know, everything's dwindling and getting down to it, that it will be one of those situations where you have to strike while you can. And if Xander wins immunity, then Ricard's going to be the one that has to get voted out. Yeah.
All right. Well, we will see. As we wrap up, I want to encourage people to check out the RHAP patron program at robhasawebsite.com/patron. December just started, and it's a great month to become a patron, so you can get access to our weekly Survivor 41 Q&A show, Patron 5 for 5, and more. Plus, in just a few days after this podcast is posted, some guy named Adam Klein, you might know him a little bit. Yeah. He will join Rob for a special discussion about how to get cast on reality TV. That is for patrons only. Adam charges for that. He runs, you know, a business of doing this, of helping. So if you're not a patron and that interests you, you're going to want to join like right away. Additionally, there will be another Survivor patron trivia night with Jordan Kalish. And even without all those things, there's, of course, the Facebook groups, Discord, a great community of people. Where you could talk about Survivor, Big Brother, life in general. So remember that you can support shows like this one and everything on the network by becoming a patron at robhaswebsite.com/patron, or just click the link on the robhaswebsite.com/YXLostFeed. You can just scroll right down to the bottom there and go to RHAP on Patreon. And of course, once you get to the Facebook groups, make sure to say hello.
You definitely should. You should do all of those things. And you should also follow myself on Twitter at Jessica Lewis, right over here, 89. And he is at David Bloomberg. You should follow both of us. We do live tweet during the episode, so be cognizant of that fact. But also, we tweet throughout the week. You will get to see all of David Bloomberg's incredible TikToks. If you are not on TikTok, you can at least enjoy them, because he does post them on Twitter as well. So you should definitely follow both of us so you can see all of the incredible content that we put out throughout the week. I'm at Jessica Lewis 89, and he is at David Bloomberg. And your TikTok
Yes, and of course, you can also at the robhasawebsite.com/YXLostFeed. Yes.
Your TikTok
you can go
is
to
added
our Twitter
now.
Or my TikTok. And
TikTok being there.
And also, if you're not on either of those, but you are on Instagram, I'll give a brief plug. I post usually most of the stuff over there on a delay, where I'm david.e.bloomberg. Also make sure you're subscribed to all the RHAP Survivor podcasts. Again, right there on our page. See, there it is. Reality TV wrap-ups.
You're like a teacher.
So, you'll find great content on the Survivor feed and on the reality TV wrap ups. You've got the Know It Alls, the B&B, Taryn Armstrong, Stockwatch, Shannon Gus International, and much, much more.
And I would like to say thank you at this point in time to everyone from RHAP, especially Scott St. Pierre, for all of the editing that you do for not only Why Blank Lost, but all of the podcasts that come out on RHAP. So thank you so much, Scott, for all of the incredible work that you do. Thank you to Will from America for the theme song that you created for David and I. It's fabulous. It's very catchy. No. It's better than the one that David now uses as his ringtone. I'm just going to say that. So you should definitely use that as your ringtone instead. And thank you, David, for reminding everyone of our incredible rewrite of the song. I'm not going
to
sing it again.
You don't need to. I have it here forever.
I know. You have it forever in TikTok form, in ringtone form. So, yes, thank you so much for another incredible episode. I truly appreciate it. And we'll see who's right next
week.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you, Jessica. Another great week. And everyone, we will be back here in a week. To discuss why maybe Danny, maybe Deshaun, maybe someone else lost, and predict the finale. We'll see you then. Bye.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.